What is going on? This is Alex Pardo. You're listening to episode 274 of the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my friends? This is Alex again, and I am so pumped and excited that you have joined me for another masterclass here with my good buddy, Tom Kroll. Guys, if you don't know Tom Kroll, you know, he is considered one of the top wholesaling coaches in the country, and it really is nothing short of remarkable to listen to his journey of, you know, how quickly he has risen from getting started in this business about 5 years ago to having done hundreds of deals across the country and just working with people and really has a no-nonsense step-by-step approach on teaching people how to get started in the wholesaling business, and has created basically a tribe of successful rhinos, as he calls them, through his program. And so on this particular episode, you know, we're not only going to talk about how his journey, how he overcame some of the challenges, but, you know, we talk about, you know, how he, through the power of networking and association, how he connected with Robert Kiyosaki on a personal level, what some of the lessons or key takeaways learned. And I'm, by the way, I'm not talking about just from reading his books. I'm talking about actually spending time with him on a one-on-one basis. And, you know, we really talk about the difference between the successful wholesalers and the ones that struggle. And there's just so much more that we dive into on this episode, you know, what's working from a marketing perspective. So if you're thinking about getting started in wholesaling, or even if you're already wholesaling, doing deals, you know, Tom always brings top-notch content, energy, and just love this dude's vibe. So let's jump right into this episode. I'm excited. Tom Kroll, my man, what's going on?
Bam! Good to be here. Good morning, good afternoon. It's good to see you, brother. I'm so honored to be on this show with you. Thank you, Alex, for having me, man.
Thank you, man. It's fantastic to get you on. It's been a long time coming. So, dude, I want to dive right into it. I mean, your attitude, your energy is infectious, and it comes across. And I know you have so much value to deliver, not just from your podcast, Wholesaling Inc., but, you know, you have a very successful program where you help, people that want to get into the wholesaling business get started. So, man, I got questions for you here, which I typically don't have prepared. But why don't we start with your journey? Because just to give people a little bit of context, I specifically remember, I want to say this was roughly 4 years ago or so, give or take. Right. I was at the gym listening to your brother's podcast, Todd Toback.
Right.
And he had you on the podcast, and he was essentially walking through how to do your first deal and how to get in this business.
Right.
So talk about your journey starting from that point, and then we'll kind of get to what your business looks like today.
Oh, brother. Oh, man. So here's the deal. I was a Harvard graduate. I've got a 1600 on my SAT. I was a multimillionaire. Yeah, right. So I was living in Florida. I was a lawn care guy. I barely graduated high school. I got a 990 on my SAT. So I didn't even bring 1,000, right?
And all right.
I was in lawn care. Manager, supervisor came in one day. They're like, you're out. And it was a nightmare. So I had to come home. I had to tell Julie, my wife. It was a big struggle. That was about 5 years ago. So time flies. And I called my brother. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm totally in debt. I've got no money. I was living paycheck to paycheck at the time.
Right.
Ultimately had to claim bankruptcy. So I was at rock bottom. So right away, I just want to tell anybody who's listening that if you're at rock bottom, that is the strongest of foundations. That's
100%.
Like the people who are at the top, who you're like, you know, don't feel like, oh, the market's so crowded, it's all competitive. No way. The guys at the top, they want you to feel that way because they're most scared of the guy who's going to take that massive action. So
totally agree.
Absolutely. So the whole thing is that I was broke. I was bankrupt, literally. Called my brother, Todd Toback. We were stepbrothers. So we became brothers at 5 and 4. Okay. And, he was like, stop being such a blank, 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 and do wholesaling in Florida. And I was like, no, Todd, you live in California. You know, there are big houses. There's more people. They're more expensive. I was like, it's never going to work here in Florida. Like,
right.
And he's like, no, it's going to work. And he pulled me through. He's like, the only thing is I want to record it. So we did a 90-day do or die series on his podcast.
Yep.
And yeah, brother, it was painful, but thank God for Todd, my stepbrother, my older brother, my mentor. Without him, honestly, I would still be working. And yeah, I mean, he's my older brother and we're competitive, but I will give him props. He is the man. So he took me through. I did my first deal. I only made $2,000. It was Dorothy Cannon right in Port St. Lucie.
I remember the story.
Is that the one where you literally, I remember you went to the title company and like you went to go pick up cash after at the buyer. Yeah. Something crazy. I'm like, wow, look at this guy.
Oh man, it was so bad. So I forgot to tell the buyer that they were paying closing costs. So when the title company was like, well, who's paying closing costs? The buyer was like, well, I'm not paying closing costs. And the seller's like, well, I'm definitely not. And I'm like, well, guys, I'll be owing money on this deal if I make closing costs. So I got the buyer to agree to do it. And then I followed him home for an assignment. I had to literally, because I didn't know where he lived, I met him at the property.
Amazing.
So, oh, man. But that's the key is that when, you know, Tony Robbins, right? When you make a decision, it's in an instant, right? When there's no resources, you become resourceful. So, you know, anybody who's out there listening who's like, well, I don't have the right contract, and use a piece of paper. The title company will give you the right one later. But yeah, don't let anything stand in your way.
Yeah.
You got to want this. But yeah, so anyway, that was my story, brother. And then from there, I did some mobile homes. And you can do a lot of those, but I didn't really like it because they weren't very profitable.
Right.
Then I kind of started to get into houses. And those were the beginnings, man. They were some humble beginnings. Yeah. And I loved it.
I got to tell you, I don't know if this has been documented in the past, but it was fascinating to watch somebody that was just hungry and looking to get into the business start from zero, and you went from zero to 60 in what felt like a flash. Like, so yeah. just so people have some context, what does the business look like today? Because I know you obviously invest in real estate, but then you have a huge coaching business where you help and impact a lot of people. So talk a little bit about how you got from that particular point where you were driving to a buyer's house to pick up money, you didn't really know what you were doing, to where you're at today.
Brother, I have so many things I can give your listeners. Number one, get out of your own way. I had Todd telling me what to do. It was Mr. Miyagi Danielson. He would tell me what to do. I would ask him why I was doing it, and he would hang up the phone, and I'm not kidding. It was instruction. Education is the number one reason why new real estate investors fail, because they feel like they're doing something, and they're not moving at all. So that's the number one thing, is get clear, simple instruction. Number two is adopt an attitude of progress, not perfection. That's what I did. It's like I knew I was making every mistake in the book. I didn't care. And number three is massive imperfect action. No matter whether you train for wholesaling for 4 years or you start today and you meet with the seller today or you get a contract today, you are going to make the same number of mistakes. Everyone's first dozen deals are a complete mess. I'm sure yours were.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it, right? Without even anybody who's at the 1% of wholesaling, their first dozen deals, they made every mistake in the book. Get out of your own way. Get clear instruction. Massive imperfect action. Progress, not perfection. There's no such thing as time management. There's only priority management. Just go, get a deal. And I will tell you this, Alex. I know it sounds like a little elementary or kind of silly, you know, but let me say this. If you want to get all your priorities just like right in order in 3 seconds, pretend that somebody has the person you love the most, like a kid, like one of your children, kidnapped. Right. And the kidnapper calls and says, hey, your job is you got to get a house under contract. Guess what's going to happen?
Everybody would do it. Everybody.
In 24 hours, everybody in the country would have a deal. Yep. I mean, it is insane. But you know, when you're comfortable, you're like, well, I don't have the right contract. What do I say when the seller, I don't know how to price a house. How do you not know how to price a house? There's literally half a dozen websites that will tell you the exact price of a house in literally 2 seconds. What do you mean?
The thing is, I think people overthink it and they get in their own way. You know, like I was listening to Dean Graziosi, and he said something that really resonated with me. Have you ever heard of the success tax?
No.
So Dean talked about how, you know, most people say they want a certain life and they say they want this and they want that and they want this amount of money, but they're not willing to pay the success tax. So the analogy he gave, think about the musician that sells out an arena. He was like, that's got to be the most euphoric feeling in the world to like perform in front of thousands and thousands of people that paid to be there. But what people don't see is that that guy had to lug around heavy instruments, go from shitty gig to shitty gig, get booed at, laughed at. That guy was willing to pay his success tax to get to that point. So right. people listening, are you willing to pay the success tax? And Absolutely. That really struck a chord with me, because your actions and your words have to be in alignment. Otherwise, you're just not going to, it's going to be like the hamster on the wheel, you know?
If you care what other people think about you,
you're going to fail.
That's your baseline. You're going to fail, because yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to look like a fool when yep. you do this. You're going to say stupid things in front of buyers, stupid things in front of sellers. Who cares? I don't care, man. Read yeah. the book Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. It's one of the best books I've ever read.
And sure, that will, I've not read that one.
Okay. Oh, brother, any book by Ryan Holiday is an absolute game changer. But Ryan Holiday, Ego is the Enemy. He also wrote The Obstacle is the Way.
Yep, I read that one.
Oh, brother. Yeah, he's a genius. But Ego is the Enemy.
Does he have another one, Confessions of Something?
Conspiracy is another one. And then okay. he has another one called The Daily Stoic and The Daily Stoic Journal.
Got it.
I've got really all sharp. Of his stuff. Oh, he's the best. But yeah, if you're worried about what you look like in front of other people,
yeah.
That's the wrong driver. It'll fail. Discipline fails. Passion fails. If you want to kill it, it's purpose. This is something, you know, you were talking about Robert Kiyosaki, and we'll get into it, but
yep.
Purpose, passion is what you want to do. Purpose is what God wants you to do. Stay focused, stay in your lane. One thing, go and get a deal. Somebody has your kid kidnapped and you've got to find one person who's willing to sell their home at a discount. It'll happen.
Absolutely.
Believe me.
So, let's talk to the people that already have, you know, an existing business. They're already doing some deals, but they're kind of challenged to get to that next level, right? Everybody yes. talks about the next level, whatever that might look like for people listening, whether it's they're doing a couple deals a month and they want to scale up their operation, they want to generate more revenue. From a marketing perspective, what do you find? Because you have, you know, you work with hundreds and hundreds of successful wholesalers. From a marketing perspective, I realize there's no silver bullet. What do you find right now as we head into, well, you know, when this gets published, it's going to be around the time of the beginning of 2019. What are you finding is working for these people? Aside from consistency, because that's the key, right?
Consistency is the number one key. 100%. When it comes to, yeah, if we're talking about just marketing, go big or go home. Number one, I always encourage everybody, go broke marketing. Go broke marketing. Don't drip. If you're going to suck at this business, let's find out in 9 days, not 9 months, with a little drip feed marketing, right? So go broke marketing, go big, and stay consistent. Let me say this, as far as having a business, so my business, we're going to do $1 million this year. It is completely, Amazing. It's awesome, brother, and it's completely hands-off. And people always say like, oh, you know, my business, I'm hands-off, but I just do this, and I just... No, this is a business. And here's the secret, in my opinion, take this with a grain of salt, because a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but okay. I don't care, because this is what I found works. Number one, first rule to having a business that runs without you, put a cap on your financial aspirations. That is the number one rule I can teach everybody. If you are making $1 million a year and you have a small business that runs without you and you could take home a huge amount of that money,
yep.
You've got to stop growing. Everybody says if you stop growing, you're dying. That is not true. You want to keep growing, but you don't have to keep growing the gross number of your financial, your company. You can grow in other ways.
Sure.
But put a cap on your financial aspirations. Once you hit that cap, delegate. Don't use words like, and the reason, by the way, is because anything that, when you're trying to grow it, it's changing. And anything that's changing is hard to automate. That's Correct. The problem. So you hit your goal, go enjoy it. Go to the south of France for 6 months and watch your bank account get filled. Who cares? That's number one. Number two, second mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make is they automate. Entrepreneurs are not automators. This is like the biggest lesson. Your job as a visionary, as an entrepreneur, as an owner, yeah. is to have a vision. And a business is this. It is a simple process that produces a consistent result that you delegate to somebody else. Mm-hmm. If the person you're delegating to is like, hey, I want to spend my weekend building Podio for our business, great. Go build Podio. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. But as entrepreneurs, it's not our job to automate. We're not automators. We're visionaries. We're at 50,000 feet. We're going fast. We have a lot of big ideas. We're making money. We have Right. shiny object syndrome. Our job is not to automate a process. Our job is to create a process that produces a consistent result that we can delegate to somebody else. Be McDonald's. Don't become a real estate expert. Wholesaling real estate has nothing to do with real estate. Nothing.
It's just a product, but we're in the people business. We're in the marketing business, in my experience.
It's a pawn shop. It's a pawn shop. The only reason we do houses is because everybody wants houses, and it's the biggest profit margin. If tomorrow gold watches were more desirable and I could get a better margin, I would move right to gold watches and I wouldn't care about the watch. I would say, "I here's the deal. I can give you cash today. I could buy it as is, even if it's broken, but I need a really good deal." What's a good deal? I don't know. How much is the watch worth? $35,000? I'll give you $3,500. That's it. And I'll do it right now. But I don't care about quarter inch countertops and high hats and a chandelier.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want a business that runs without you, don't become an expert chef. If you become an expert, you are going to work just like the expert chef works on Christmas and the weekends. And when the expert chef doesn't come in, the sous chef can't do the job, the restaurant closes down. Don't be that guy. Go after McDonald's. One way to find a property, one way to buy a property, one way to sell a property. Keep it simple. Don't automate. Delegate. If you're the people you delegate to want to automate, great. Go enjoy it. I'm going to go to the beach. Go delegate whatever you want to automate. Go automate. I think that's awesome. Don't bother me with it. I don't need to know how you do it.
Amazing. Whatever. So I'm going to play devil's advocate, right? And not that I don't agree with you, because I do, but for somebody listening out there, they're thinking to themselves, from a marketing perspective, Tom just shared go big or go home, right? But now as far as, you know, you also said shortly after, put a cap on your financial aspirations, which I think is kind of a hot take, right? That's the opposite of what a lot of people would say, you know, dream big, think big, like set a goal and set a new one. Can you elaborate a little bit? Like, so let's say somebody out there listening says, you know what? I want to do what Tom accomplished. I want $1 million business in 2019, right? Go from that point and elaborate a little bit on when you say put a cap on your financial aspirations. So are you saying when somebody achieves that goal, whatever it may be, whether it's a million or 500,000 or 10 million, stop and like talk a little bit about that process?
Yeah, so there's a lot of confusion around that. So let me give you a little clarity, especially if there's any people out there who are, you know, achieving big goals. And this is a business is like a baby, right? So I can't tell anybody else how to raise their child, right? But here's what I'm going to say to you. You have to ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Is it for just money, right? In which case, if it's just for money and you want to sacrifice 60 hours a week and you want to trade your most important commodity, which is time, for your least important commodity, which is money, if you want to continue to do that all the time, or you want to take your limited time and trade it for the least important quality, which is money, if you want to do that, that's awesome. Go and do it. And there's certainly going to be a little bit of that, because when you to get the plane off the ground, you have to punch the gas. You're going to use all the gas to get the plane. Absolutely. But here's the deal. Once you make it, if you're making $10,000 a month, take home pay, $20,000 a month, $40,000 a month, $50,000 a month, when does it stop? I have a big breaking news story for everybody right now.
What's that?
If you're not happy at $50,000 a month in your pocket every single month on an automated business, and your goal is still more money, you're going to probably find that even when you put another zero on that per month income, it's not going to change your happiness level. And here's the thing. If you do want to do it, I'm not faulting you, but you can't simultaneously say, I want more and more and more and more and more, and I also want, you know, everything else.
Right.
So I think the bottom line is you can change your goal. If you say, I want to create $1 million business that runs without me, which, you know, that's where we're at. We're $3,400. It's, you know, right now, 2018, we're $3,400 away from $1 million for this year, and we will absolutely hit it. It's awesome. If you want that, when you get it, yes, you should always have a goal. Jim Rohn teaches us, we don't work to rest, we work to live. That's what Jim Rohn said, right? I agree with it. Yeah, but have another goal. It doesn't have to be, now I want 1.5 and I want to make my business more complex and have more people that I'm responsible for and more hires and more moving parts, because you could be risking the whole entire business if you do that.
Sure.
If you hit your goal, go hit another goal. I know mine should be hitting the gym. There's no doubt about it. So I need a fitness goal for 2019. But that's it.
So to piggyback on something you're saying, which I think we need to drive this point home, and it took me years to learn this, and a mentor of mine finally like just drilled it into my head. The goal is just an endpoint. It's just a destination. You have to enjoy the journey. And I realize that sounds very cliche, but the journey is where the growth happens. That's where the fulfillment should come. It's not in achieving a goal. Once you achieve that goal, most people's inclination, well, let's just set a new one.
Right.
You know, 99% of the time, I think, is spent in the journey, the goal, right. The goal, you hit it and then you hit it and you move on, right?
I totally agree. I think the problem is people get fixated on the cash and then they think that the next goal always has to be more cash. And I right. think that that's a huge mistake. I think that if you're, and I know you, you know, we were going to talk about some passive income.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'll give you a lesson that I learned is I thought, hey, I'm making a ton of cash. I have a pipeline of discounted properties. I'll use that cash to buy these discounted properties and plug them into my rental portfolio. Because I'm buying them free and clear, I don't have to really watch them because they're free and clear. I'm making a lot of money. As a matter of fact, I went to CG and I on my first meeting, and you have to give a little summary of where you're at, and I reported this big number I was making every month. And one of my mentors said, you're full of crap. You're not making that number. I said, yes, I do. I take the gross and I minus 40% for repairs and vacancy. They're like, no, you're not. Rerun your numbers. I did rerun my numbers. It was a total disaster. Here's what I learned. Whatever you do not monitor and manage and watch and count, absolutely, the earth will just, what happens is the natural tendency is to rot and decompose, right? Yeah. So my passive income, I had to spend the last 8 months or so working on that and selling properties and acquiring new ones and paying down debts and everything else I was doing to, in order to keep a portfolio that was actually producing cash every month instead of taking it out of my pocket, because whatever you don't measure will just die and shrink. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is,
by the way, whatever you measure grows and expands.
Yeah, except for one thing.
I got you. Unfortunately, right?
Unfortunately, although I haven't tested that theory, so
but, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that if you create that business and it's a servant to you, and you know, a lot of people, they're not sure if they've created a job or a business. Here's how you know: put your cell phone in your laptop in your office, close the door, and go to Europe for a month. That's all you have to do. Go to Europe. If when you come back, you have more money in the bank than you left with, you have a business. It's a servant to you. If the money stopped coming in, you've got a job. And if you created a job, what I would suggest is get busy creating a business. Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, if it doesn't mean that you live as a pauper or that you have to have like low goals. I'm not saying have low goals. I'm saying just have your priorities straight. And I have tons of things I have to work on and make better and all kinds of stuff. But I think that that's such a big problem that people—
Sure, you know, I agree.
Never enough.
Yeah. Awesome. So let me ask you a question, man. Wholesaling, obviously, it's a transactional business.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want, you know, on this podcast, one of the things I've really been trying to share with people is make sure that you have a wealth strategy, right? Make sure you have a game plan, because unless you absolutely love wholesaling, you know, then fantastic, do it for the rest of your life. But it's one of those things that unless you've built out a business like you have, where you can kind of unplug from, it's a transactional business. You're only as good as your last deal for a lot of people.
Right.
So I want to hear kind of about how did you decide on what your wealth plan or your wealth strategy was going to be? And what do you recommend specifically for the wholesalers listening? They're generating cash in their wholesaling business. What should they do with that? Is it notes? Is it lending? Is it a rental portfolio? Is it multifamily? Talk to us about, you know, kind of how you ultimately ended up on, I think it's building a rental portfolio, and kind of how you got to that process.
So I think that one thing I've learned in my life is that any plan is better than no plan. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to people in Collective Genius and they will tell you, you're an idiot. Multifamily is the best. And then you'll talk to somebody else and say, you're an idiot. Single family rentals are the best. And another person will say, you got to be in the stock market and live off the dividends and don't touch the principal. And there's 100 other people who have 100 other plans. Here's the bottom line. I believe any plan is better than no plan. They all have pros and cons. I like single family because it's a natural byproduct of my wholesaling business. So I'm constantly cherry picking discounted properties that I know would be good rentals. Now I know because I've been tracking numbers, not guessing. Mm-hmm. I cherry pick those. I pay cash for them. I don't like carrying debt on my rental properties. And we Julie and I have a goal. It's $27,000 a month in passive income. And let me say this: this whole idea of passive income is the biggest bunch of malarkey ever. There is no such thing.
I'm going to challenge you and say, in my experience, you know, rentals are not too passive. I don't know many people that have made it passive, right?
I don't know anybody who's made passive income in real estate. I think that all real, I think all income really that is, they use the term passive. It really should be changed to reoccurring. Hmm. And the way I define it is that it's a single transaction that over time will produce, that will produce revenue when it's monitored and managed. That's okay. What it is.
Got it.
But who cares? Like, you know, that's,
yeah.
Guys like us are not going to be sitting on the beach for like, you know, right. After 3 hours, we're like, we got to get to work.
Right. So, right. Exactly.
So who cares?
So 27 grand is your goal with your wife. How many houses does it going to take for you to accomplish 27 grand a month?
A lot. So here's what I'm going to tell you. So what we're doing is we had to hit the reset button, right? Because we were buying properties and I was so braggadocious and confident about how well I was doing on my portfolio. And then when some of the guys at CG told me, like Mark Delator and Joe Lieber and a few others, they were like, hold on, right? They're like, double check this number. So now we reduced the portfolio all the way down and we're down to like, yeah, brother. We're like, we redid the whole thing. So now we're down to like $4,600 a month and we're adding new properties. And it's hard to say exactly how many because, for instance, one of our properties is $3,000 a month and another property is like $800. Okay. So it's not so much the number of properties as much as each ROI. We want to maintain debt on only one property at a time, which I know a lot of people will disagree with, but that's okay, right? Everybody can disagree. Yep. But we only want to maintain debt on one property at a time, and we want to make sure every property cash flows consistently. And that's what we're kind of working on. But it's, you know, it's 27, maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't. It's a goal. You know, I'm not really pressing that hard for it.
I have no doubt you'll get there, man. And you know, you may even surpass it, even if you don't want to, so...
Well, it's funny because once you get to like a certain number, it's easier to get to like, so each set of 5,000, I think is easier to get to, I think that's the methodology, man.
I love it, man. I love it. So as we start to kind of wind down here, you recently, I want to say in 2018, somehow, I want to hear the story if you're willing to share it, you connected with Robert Kiyosaki.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So if anything's off limits here or share what you can share, but I would love to hear the genesis. How did you connect with Robert Kiyosaki? How'd you end up ultimately meeting with him, building a relationship with him? And then just to kind of seed it and tease the audience, I would love to hear your top three takeaways or lessons learned from your time with him. Not so much what you've picked up from reading his books, but actually one-on-one personal time with him. What are some of the lessons learned that you can share with us?
Yeah, let me, if it's okay, Alex, let me answer the last part of your question first. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get right to the meat and potatoes, brother. Robert Kiyosaki is a game changer. I've been so blessed and fortunate to be spending a lot of time with him now. We're going to be actually together in March doing a cruise. He is a rock star. He is a game changer. His whole entire philosophy is just, I can't even explain it. Just 15 minutes with him. And, you know, we go out there. Last time I was out there for a week in Arizona. He's right in that Phoenix, Scottsdale area. Yeah. Here are some of the biggest takeaways. Number one, you know, one thing that he says, you know, the first few times I met him, he was like, oh, I'm incompetent. You know, I didn't know what he meant by that. Now I understand. Robert Kiyosaki, he has a philosophy. He calls it be to have. Okay. And instead of do to have. And what my interpretation of that is, I look around him and I see these rich dad advisors, Ken McElroy, John McGregor, and Tom Wheelwright, and Garrett Sutton, and these these guys who are geniuses, right? And what he does is his role is to be the leader. And when he wants to do a property, right, and he has, you know, a lot. I don't want to go into the details of that, but he is uber successful. There's no question. And when he wants to get something done, he's not asking how, he's asking who. And this was such a shift for me this year. Huh. I mean, it's just, you know, like everybody else I speak to, like I want to get into whatever, you know, you pick the topic, multifamily investing. Okay. Like, what do I have to do? What do I have to learn? Who, you know, it's the question should be, who do I have to become? The question is, who do I have to reach out to? Who already knows how to do that? So I think that the lesson for me for number one was really be to have and understanding more deeply what that means instead of do to have. Paycheck to paycheck people, very much in that do to have mentality.
Okay.
Second thing that I learned from him, I mean, I actually have a notebook of notes from my meeting that I can go through. If you want me to grab it, I could go grab it.
Please, hold on one second.
Let's see.
Let's do it.
Okay. I keep a lot of notebooks now. So
the wisdom in that notebook, man.
Oh, brother, this guy. Oh, there you go. Stop learning, start earning. That's a good one. All right. These are my journals here. By the way, guys, everybody should be keeping a journal. That is an absolute game changer. I keep a decision journal, which tells me every decision that a lot of big decisions I'm making throughout the day. It tells me, you know, just as like a little bit of a log of what's going on there.
Okay. Yeah, this is fascinating, guys. So while Tom is grabbing this, so, you know, connect with Tom on social media, on Facebook. He's always doing great.
Oh, man, I think my Kiyosaki journal is upstairs.
Ah, no worries.
Oh, brother, I wanted to give you some gold. Well, here's my decision journal. You guys can see that. It says decision journal right there. But so here is the deal. My takeaways from Robert Kiyosaki, I would say the biggest one is, and you know, this is in his book, but he talks about it when you're in person, which is just keeping, you know, understanding the cash flow quadrant and who you are in that and where you really are. The difference really, I think a lot of people get confused, is between being self-employed and being a business owner. I think there's a lot of confusion on that one. Off the top of my head, one thing I did because of him is we have a long-term savings account. A lot of people are going to disagree with this, but that's okay. We have Julie and I have a long-term savings account. We've converted 20% of our long-term savings account into actual gold and silver.
Okay.
That we keep not at a bank, but at there's a safety deposit box that are outside of banks, which I would recommend. We do that just as a hedge against our long-term savings in cash.
Yeah, hyperinflation and all that.
Yeah, that's all. So easy peasy. You know, a lot of people that get freaked out by that. It's not like you're going to be trading gold for bread, but what it really is in 1950, a Corvette, you could buy a Corvette for $1,400. And in 2018, you could buy the tires for a new Corvette in $1,400. So the point being is that money in the bank actually for sure loses value. So if you take 20% of that, it's not to be used as an alternative to real estate investing, of course.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, and here's the way I met him. I will tell you right now is, if you can see all these books behind me, every single person, Alex, who is, you know, $100 million plus, I don't care if it's Warren Buffett or Warren Buffett to Oprah, Rachel Ray. I mean, it doesn't matter who, you know, you name the person, they are all readers. All of them. All of my mouth, I have a council of about 8 men that I listen to that gives me advice on a weekly basis.
Okay.
All of those guys, I get pictures on my cell phone that it's pictures of books, pictures of passages. You know, before I was wealthy, it would be like, did you see this movie? I just been watched a season on this, you know, show. I'm not saying it's bad to watch TV or anything like that. Although I will tell you, I wouldn't watch the news. I've completely banned news from my life, 100%. But if you want to be wealthy, all of these great men and women of consequence who have come before us, they left all the seeds. All readers. And a lot of us, we were told when we were younger, because of a learning disability or whatever, you know, you can't read, you're a visual learner, you're an audio learner. So
that's BS.
Total BS.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to disagree with me for a second, but I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when I was hearing it's a pet peeve of mine. That's not true. I think that's a story that you're believing.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that people will argue with serious disabilities, and I understand that.
That's different. Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing. Even if you have one, still read. If you can read a book. Even if it's not your preferred or best way of acquiring information, and just get started. And if you ask me how I met Robert Kiyosaki, one of my students was Clayton Morris, who was the host of Fox and Friends. If anybody watches Fox News out
there,
made so much money in real estate that he ended up retiring from Fox and Friends.
Amazing.
He was one of my early students, and he was going to have lunch with Robert in Manhattan. They had known each other from Robert being a frequent guest on Fox News. Mm-hmm. So I told Clayton, I was like, Clayton, you better get me up at that meeting. He's like, done. So he was having lunch. I jumped in my car because I don't like to fly, but don't tell anybody that. I have to do some fear facing.
You drove to Manhattan?
Bro, I'm from New York. I drive back and forth from Florida all the time.
You're kidding me. I didn't know that, man.
Brother, I drove to Manhattan. I parked in Manhattan. We went to Delmonico's Steakhouse.
Great spot.
We sat down. It was Clayton, myself, and Robert, and we're talking and talking, and Clayton said, Robert said, he goes, you are, he said, oh, we were talking about a book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Gerber, one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan because I'm a reader, so I knew the book in and out. I love it. And we were talking and talking, and he said, hey, you should come hang out. And
amazing. So check this out. Here's what's fascinating to me. This was through a friend, somebody that you were coaching.
Right.
That's why the power of association and your network is so important. You know, I forgot who it was that said it. I don't know if it was Jim Rohn or one of these guys that you are the average of the five people you hang out with. And I know everybody has probably heard that, but it's so true, man. It is so, so true.
I think the other way to think about that is trying to not be, because you have to, that's one thing to say that, right? But I think people don't understand it in their belly. The other way to think about this is trying not to be influenced by the people you spend time with is like trying to go swimming without getting wet. And it's not possible. Yeah. So if you are hanging out with people who have a lot of opinions about stuff that they haven't achieved, they are going to just bring you so far down that road, you're never going to get up. It's just impossible. So I've had a cut off relationships with some people. I've had to change some stuff, but you know, and it becomes a time management issue in the sense of if you're spending time with, and I did this once about 2 years ago, I took a look at the five people I actually wrote on my whiteboard who I logistically spend the most time with. Okay. Brother, I am telling you, right in the middle of fitness, weight, income, wealth,
I believe
everything.
It. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, hey, to end the show, knowing you're a young guy, I'm guessing you're what, 36, 37? You don't have to say you're
39, brother.
Oh. I'm right behind you. I'm 38. All right, cool. So you're about to be 40. Rewind the clock 15 years. Knowing what you know now, what's the one piece of advice you would share with the younger Tom Kroll? And by the way, here's the caveat. It doesn't have to be about business, although it can. It could be relationships, business, money. One piece of advice. What would you share with the 24, 25-year-old Tom Kroll?
Oh, man.
I know that's a loaded one, man. I know that's a loaded one, but
I'll tell you this. You know, I think that this whole game is all, I think just, man, you know what the advice would be? It would be, I know this is going to sound so silly. It would be to read, man. I did not read a book until I was 33 years old, and I really believe reading is the difference maker.
It's changed your life.
Changed my life. When I go to the gym, that's my gym right there. I put on music on this Mac. I go and sit in that chair and I grab one of these books. And I'm telling you, man, things like you don't realize, I think, how much anxiety you have about stuff. I don't think people really realize who they are, that they're made in the image of God. I don't think people really understand that. I don't think people understand how powerful they are, that they can move a mountain. Yeah. You know, brother, 5 years ago, if I was mowing Robert's lawn, I would have been like, Alex, you're not going to believe whose lawn I'm mowing. It's Robert. And now I'm like, I meet with him. I'm like, brother, what?
It's crazy. Anything is possible, man. You just have to believe it. And I realize that's so like cliche, but it all starts here, man. You know, mental gymnastics.
Yeah, it's all in the mind. I would say change your network, read books, journal every single day because your memory is faulty. That's what I would have told myself. And pray for your enemies is a big one. People pray for their kids. That's like, that's nothing. That's easy.
Okay.
Everybody, the worst person, the people in prison, you know, pray for their kids. That's not, pray for your enemies. You want to really move the needle in your life. Your naysayers, you know, people who are like, that's the kind of stuff I would have practiced a little bit earlier.
I love
and I would have gotten to real estate a lot earlier. There's no bad time. You know, people are, even now, they're like, is it now the right time that I missed the boat? Like,
it's always the right time. Yeah, get in there. It's the right time. I love it, man. Gold. Absolute gold. So, hey, buddy, obviously, you got a super successful podcast, Wholesaling Inc., that I want people to plug into. We'll make sure to put it in the show notes. How do people want to connect with you if they want to reach out, if they want to even get, you know, get coached by you, whatever that may look like?
Yeah, I mean, so the podcast is awesome. It's Wholesaling Inc. So check us out there. We give gold nuggets all the time. It's only on wholesaling. It's all we care about. Yep. To find out more about Wholesaling Inc., we have a company. It's called Wholesaling Inc. Go to wholesalinginc.com. And if you're interested in coaching, fill out an application. If we like what you have to say, we might bring you in to be a rhino, man.
Brother, well, I want to appreciate, I appreciate you, and I want to acknowledge you for your energy, all, you know, everything, all the good that you've done for our community over the last handful of years. And I applaud your success and your attitude. That's the biggest thing. Forget about everything you've accomplished, but it's just your attitude. You're infectious. And it was awesome to get you on, man.
Brother, it's such a blessing. Anytime. I love this. It's changed my life. I cannot believe I'm $3,400 away from $1 million. It's
crazy. Amazing, man. Go get it. Go get it, man. I love it. I love it.
All right, guys. Anything I'll let me know.
I'll see you next week, my man, and thank you once again.
See you there. All right, Alex. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye. Take care, everyone.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.